Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship.
The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAction with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 87 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FanFexHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We are continuing with our 2022 redraft positional previews today with the always exciting Hot Corner. And with me, as usual, my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, man. Just glad to be here. I had a stressful week, so it's good to be back. And this is a nice stress reliever, in my opinion. So getting on the pod, you know, talking about baseball and writing about baseball, too. Like, that's such a relief. And that's what I love about, you know, fantasy and honestly, the fantasy community in general. Like, it's just sometimes an escape from life and everything going on. So yeah. I'm thankful if you're listening and you're going through something, you know, feel free to reach out. You know, I'm thankful that some of you reached out to me. You know, we had a rough week, really a rough month. January has been a pretty rough month. So looking forward that January is coming to an end. Hopefully the rest of 2022 is better. But appreciate all you that have reached out to me. And same goes for you. If you ever need to reach out, you know, if you're going through something, I'd love to chat with you because, you know, I'm more than happy to give back because people have given so much to me. You've supported so much. And so, you know, we're always here beyond baseball. So that's the best thing about this community is that, you know, we're in this together, we're in life together. And so if you ever need anything, if you're struggling with something, you know, feel free to reach out and talk.
Well said, well said. And that is absolutely true. Like, you never know what someone's going through. And that's another reason, just be kind. I know this bird app we all kind of live on, Twitter, it can be cutthroat at times, but you never know what somebody is going through. Everyone's going through something to some degree. Everyone's got the stuff they're dealing with. So just be kind. Always, you know, reach out. We all have friends on here. Reach out to Chris, reach out to myself, whoever you want to. You know, there's a lot of good people in this industry that are always willing to help you out with, even if it's not baseball related or fantasy baseball related. So absolutely. I'm winding down from a day full of shoveling and recouping from yesterday's winter storm, what they called a bombnado, aka a snow hurricane. I called it a snownado, but it dumped. I don't even know what the final tally was for inches, but it was a lot.
I'm sure you beat the 7 we got in South Carolina, which was a huge snowstorm.
Oh, we beat the 7. Yeah, absolutely. It was probably double that. I don't know, maybe even more. I can't remember what I didn't even look, but yeah, it was a really bad Saturday. missed a game. It was like whiteout conditions. You couldn't even see outside. Wind was whipping sideways while it was snowing hard. It was done Saturday night, but today was just a recovery of shoveling all that snow and digging out the car and all that fun stuff. So we got get some writing done this afternoon. I got my outfield sleepers article up today on Monday. When you're listening to this, check that out. A lot of other great stuff over at Fantrax HQ as well. Our draft kit is in full swing. We have staff rankings, sleepers and busts, prospect and dynasty work, player analysis, strategy, everything you could possibly want. So go check that out. It is free. We have a really fun show today. But before we get into that show, the usual housekeeping, you can find Chris and I on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm AirCross04. And our show account is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy the podcast, please write and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including that 2022 draft kit that I just mentioned. A lot of good stuff in there. Let's get right into this week's episode. As I mentioned, we're going through our third base preview for 2022. A lot of fun names up and down the board here. Really falls off quick, as we've seen a lot of it's a little top heavy, then it gets kind of questionable in the middle rounds, but definitely some intriguing targets throughout. But let's start with our general strategy here at this third base position. You know, for me, I'm trying to target it early. Obviously, look at ADP here. There are 8, and this is the ADP we'll be referencing throughout this entire show, is off NFBC for draft champions drafts in the month of January, which were there 211? Am I seeing that right? No, there's no way there's 211.
35 draft picks in the month of January for draft champions. 35 draft champions completed.
I'm not sure why mine says. Oh, I didn't hit submit on the date thing. So it's 211 total. Yeah, 35. There we go. I'm like, there's no way there's 211 DCs in January alone. It'd be 7 a day. So yeah, 35 DCs in January. So that's the ADP we'll be referencing on this show. And in the month of January, we have 7. Well, I guess I'll count Kiss Bryant. He's at 100.6. So 8 third basemen that are eligible there in the top 100. You know, starting right at the top, if you can get one of those top guys like Joe Ram, Devers, Machado, you got to use a top 25 pick to do so. Obviously, J Ram's top 3, top 4. I'm okay with all those. You know, I've been trying to get those guys, but everyone else is trying to get those guys as well. Everyone knows that third base is top heavy. Third base falls off quickly. So if I don't get one of, you know, those top three or a couple of the guys in the, you know, Austin Riley, Bregman, Arenado range, I'm usually trying to wait until about 130 to 150, get a guy like Cabrian Hayes, Moncada. You know, Moncada is really the last guy, and he's the 12th guy here that I really feel comfortable as my starter. There's some guys I like later on, but more so as like corner infield types, not my starter. So definitely a position I'm trying to lock up earlier rather than later. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I certainly agree. But that's the problem is you just have to be in the right spot at the right time.
Right.
Because Everybody's chasing those top guys. And, you know, it's pretty much guaranteed if you end up at the back end of the first, like, you're going to have to either pay up or just wait. Because if you're picking, let's say you're picking out like the 15th, but you're picking at the turn. I mean, yeah, I think you can make an argument for Devers there, but you have to commit because he's not coming back to you. Obviously, right. Machado's not coming back. And it drops off pretty drastically. Like the tiers are interesting because you have, you know, J-Ram going average pick of like 3.7 right now, Devers 18, Machado at 22, and Mondesi's the next one at 55. So it does drop off pretty dramatically. And it's interesting because I'm pretty sure Riley was going like 45 at the beginning of draft season. He's dropped
right
to 63 this month, which is an interesting spot. His min is actually 46, which is around what his ADP was, you know, early on in draft season. So there are some good values, I think, at the back end of like, you know, the 100 range. You look at like Arenado at 81 and Bregman at 99 and Brian at 100, like even and Anthony Rendon at 116. Like those are all very solid. But I don't know. You definitely have safety and security in the top. And I think we see that pretty easily with Ramirez. He's honestly one of the safest bets there is in the draft. And yeah. I know we're going to kind of hit on that a little bit. We've got a couple topics evolving around him, but yeah, I think that you either have to commit early, hope you get somebody in the back end of the top 100, or you're kind of out of luck. You know, there's some other like dart throws, I guess, per se, but you know, will they hit? A lot of injury risk in there, a lot of the bust potential as well. So yeah, that's why I like to get it early and get it done with.
Yeah, and right at the top, obviously we have Joe Ram here who, you know, there's a strong case for him as the number two pick this year behind Trey Turner and maybe even number one. If there's been some small rumblings of maybe Joe Ram getting dealt, you know, the Toronto's come up, that would be insane. But even if he stays in Cleveland, which I think is still the most likely scenario, he's still a no doubt top five pick and probably top three. Like look at, obviously, as we mentioned, how it falls off at third base, you know, that adds value to Joe Ram. And just that speed that he brings, you look for speed early on in general, and this, especially from a position that doesn't have a lot of speed. Like you go up and down third base, Devers gives you a handful, Machado a handful, Mondesi's Mondesi. But outside of Mondesi and how many games play you can count on from him, Riley doesn't provide really any, neither does Arenado. Bregman doesn't run anymore. Bryant's only a handful. Rendon, can't count on him. And then we're getting down. Maybe Cabrian Hayes can give you 10 to 15, but that's about it. You know, a lot of like 5 to 10 guys here at this position. Like outside of Joe Ram and Mondesi, Chris, like who do you think, there's anybody that stands out as like, all right, besides those two, this guy will be number three at this position in steals. I don't see one. Like maybe Machado at 10.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, Machado would be my pick. I mean, he's probably going to steal 10. I think he did, 12 last year?
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be in that range. But really, you mentioned that's all the speed there is at the position. There's not a whole lot. So
maybe Hayes gets there. But
yeah, I do like Hayes. You know, Hayes is a really intriguing profile. And he actually stole a lot down the stretch last year. I had to pull up the numbers, but yeah, he started running towards the end of last year, and yeah, you know, he stole 9 bags, only caught once, and I'm pretty sure most of that was at the very end of the season. So I like Hayes as well. I think Hayes is a solid player. I know we'll get to him as well, but yeah, you're right. Speed is at a minimum here.
Right, and you look at Joe Ram over the last 5 years, like, you know, that's really 2017 is when he really broke out, hit 318, 29 home runs, 17 steals, but since then, he had a 39-34 season in 2018, which really vaulted him into the first round where he's kind of been ever since then. And then a 23-24 season in 2019, a 17-10 in the shortened 2020. But, you know, you extrapolate that out, and he was on pace for like nearly a 50-30 season. Who knows if he would have got there, obviously, but definitely another great power speed year. And then 36-27 last year. So you're really looking at three of the last 4 years, he's been well over 30 home runs or on pace to do so. He's been over 24 steals or on pace to do so in each of the last 4 years. So it's like a 35-25 type of floor, which is insane. And yeah, the average has kind of bounced all around, 318, 270, 255, 292, 266. But the OBP has always been solid. You know, it's 354 for his career. I don't think he's ever going to drop below like 266 or so. So I think about 265 plus is a good floor there. Walks a good amount, doesn't strike out a lot. Yeah, he has almost as many walks over the last handful of years as he does strikeouts. So, yeah, really safe profile, really high ceiling as well. And even in that Cleveland lineup, which is not great, it's not terrible, but it's not great either, still had 111 runs, 103 RBIs. So, definitely, you know, he's a four-category beast that is okay in the fifth and could, you know, potentially, I wouldn't be surprised if he went up 292 again. So, I'm totally fine. If I have a pick, you know, Trey Turner's my one, but if I have picks 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm really looking hard at Joe Ram there for sure.
Yeah, and he's honestly been the model of consistency. He stayed healthy for the most part. I mean, I looked, and since the 2017 season, so that's 5 seasons worth of data. His per 600 plate appearance data is about 32 home runs and 25 stolen bases, and then about 95 runs and, you know, just a hair less, like 92 RBI, which is interesting. I mean, and the thing is, he's gone over 600 plate appearances in 2017, 2018, and 2021. He played a full season in 2020 and would have paced for it. The only season he didn't was in 2019. Still got 542, and he hit 23 home runs, stole 24 bags. It's interesting to me to look at his batting average, and it's easy to say he's a batting average risk. He's hit 280 in those last 5 seasons combined. I know he hit 266 last year, but the contact is still elite. You look, he's averaged an 87% contact rate over the 5 seasons, and last year was much of the same at 86.8, so right there with it. He doesn't chase a ton, 25% chase rate. That's really good. And his zone contact of 92.2% over the 5-year span, and last year was 93.2%. So really good across the board. Everything, you know, really checks out here. The biggest thing is just he's volatile with BABIP, which, you know, is BABIP a skill? Maybe to an extent. Joe Ram's interesting. Normally you see players that are his profile that hit plenty of line drives and have solid speed. They're normally high BABIP guys, but he ran a 256 BABIP last year. He ran a 256 BABIP in 2019. He ran a 252 BABIP in 2018. Like, those are so low, like, compared to league average. It's interesting. Maybe he's just a low BABIP guy, but he still makes work. And you think if he has some good BABIP luck go his way, you usually see that average jump back up to 290. It wouldn't surprise me at all, because you look at the seasons when he did post that solid average, the BABIP was good. Interesting enough, like, his BABIP runs very similar to his batting average. You look, 2017, 319 BABIP, 318 batting average. 2018 was a little bit of difference, 252 BABIP, 270 average. 2019, 256 BABIP, 255 average. They're literally like in sync. 2020, 294 BABIP, 292 average. And then last year, 256 BABIP, 266 average. So literally his batting average is completely driven by his batting average on balls in play. So you see that tick up, and we could see a solid average. Right now, I'd say he's a 4.5 category contributor. You see that average go up, easy 5 category guy. You add in the third base scarcity, easy. For me to say that he's could be the number one pick.
Yep, definitely. Moving on here to our next two, Rafael Devers and Manny Machado, both going in the second round on average here. So still a little like, who would you rather have here between these two? Look at their ADP. Devers is at 18.7 on average, and Machado 22.6 on average. I know my answer for sure here, and people will call me biased, but I would much rather have Rafael Devers in the second round than Manny Machado. Now, Machado, I don't know. I feel like I'm always playing with fire with Machado. The numbers are always there, but you look at Rafael Devers and just you look across the board. This dude is absolutely mashes. And it's funny, too. You've got some of his contact rates, and they're not as great as you might think. Like, for instance, his zone contact rate was 77.2 last year, which is, you know, about 4% below league average. He's always kind of been in that 77 to 79% range. The approach is a little bit aggressive. Like, his chase rate was 4% above league average last year. The whiff rate was about 3% above league average, but just the quality of contact is so damn good. Now he's gonna get away with that and still hit for a high average. Like he hit 279 last year. Before that, he was at 263, but then 311 in 2019. So I think 275 plus is very reasonable. You've got 38 home runs, even in Fenway. Like this guy, he hits the ball hard. He hits the ball hard in the air. Nice 13-degree launch angle there. Exit velo is 92.9, 15% barrel rate, 51.8% hard hit rate, 478 xWOBA.con. It's a lot to like in this profile. He's going to be hitting right in the middle of a loaded Red Sox lineup that is probably going to add another bat, whether it's Saya Suzuki or someone else. This will be a, you know, a top 10, top 5 lineup once again. And around Machado, well, you know, the numbers are very good for him as well. Like you look at the quality of contact is nearly as good for him as it is for Devers. Actually, basically on par with a lot of those metrics I just mentioned. Approach is great, but that San Diego lineup is, it's okay around him, but it's not quite as good as it once was and definitely not as good as Boston. So give me Devers here all day. How about you, Chris?
I'm actually going to take Machado. I think the added steals are a plus. He's literally one of the most consistent players with staying on the field. You're not going to find anybody that's...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Healthier, in my opinion. I say that he's going to have a terrible injury this year, but I mean, he's been the model of consistency. You just go down the board. He hasn't had a season below 150 games since 2014. Played several full seasons there. And last year was actually his lowest games played. Since 2014, he played 153. So you're going to be guaranteed plenty of at-bats, which is huge, I think. And I think the lineup context is fine. You're right. I think the Padres lineup has been overrated to an extent, but I still think it's solid. You look, the stolen bases are a huge plus. And he's shown over the years that he's willing to run when his teams are competitive. And you see the stolen bases and you look, when he played on teams that were competing for a playoff spot, he ran. And I assume, obviously the Padres fell out. He stopped running last year. So whatever, I do think that they're going to be a contending team again this year. You know, we'll see what they do after the lockout. But, you know, I fully expect him to steal bases, which is a difference maker there. And it's funny, you look at the batting average. It is volatile year over year. And it's like an every other year thing. I mean, we saw in 2018, 297, 2019, 256, 2020, 304. Last year was 278, so a happy medium. But it's every other year, so this year is going to be the year that his average bumps back up. Just kidding. That's just a total flaw in analysis there, but it is interesting to note. But yeah, he doesn't strike out. His contact rates are significantly better than Devers. He puts the ball in play a ton. And while I love Devers, don't get me wrong, but I just think that there is some upside with the stolen bases here. And there is the concern, like, I mean, Devers had dealt with some elbow stuff throughout the offseason or through the postseason. I know they said it wouldn't require surgery, but maybe it's nothing. I hope it's nothing for his sake, the Red Sox sake, but I don't know. I just see a little more a little more safety in Machado's profile, which is why at the prices I'd lean that way, even though they're close. I mean, Machado's only going 4 picks later. I would just prefer him there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I guess I feel a little safer with Devers. I mean, he's only missed a total of, 15 games over the last 3 years, 156, sure. Both the last two full years, then 57 games out of the 60 in 2020. And yeah, Machado will run more. I'll give you that. I just wonder, like, how much more? Like, he was 12 last year. Devers 5. Devers did have 8 back in 2019. Didn't steal any in 2020, but you know, that's kind of obviously the weird season. So, you know, he's good for 5 to 8. That's a good range for him. So is that extra 5, 6, 7 steals enough to offset the extra run production and home runs that you'll likely get from Devers? I mean, it's, you know, obviously we're nitpicking here. These are both great. I don't dislike Machado. You don't dislike Devers, obviously, but you know, I guess I lean more. I like that run production, and I don't think the extra, at least in my opinion, the extra, you know, handful of steals from Machado, everything you mentioned is spot on. Like, I don't disagree with anything you said, but I guess I don't know if the extra handful of steals, in my opinion, offsets the extra, you know, 10 to 15 RBI and runs and 5 to 7 home runs that Devers will likely give you. So I'll take Devers here. You take Machado.
I guess my concern with Devers is that he could be a zero in steals because he's so inefficient on the base pass. I mean, he's 50% since 2019. So, you know, what's to say they just stop letting him run? And that's my concern with Machado. We know he's successful and he's proven that he will run and can run. So I guess that's my only concern. Like, Devers, and while he hasn't been, he could be a zero in steals. So that is my, I guess, slight concern there.
Yeah, and that's valid. That could definitely happen. We'll have to see here. Moving on, do we even want to talk about Mondesi? I mean, has
what's anybody, there to say?
Has any everybody not learned their lesson? 55.7 ADP. Yes, I get it. He could be a 20 homer, 60 steal guy, but okay, come on. He hasn't done that yet. It's so much people talk about risk, in especially early on, and Mondesi's going in the top 60. I just min pick of 35. Are we? I just don't get it, Chris. Like, I don't get it. Even when last year, like September, he had like 14 steals. It was great. He was quote unquote, people use the term league winner with me many times on Twitter. Like, yeah, I get it. 14 steals is great. He also had like a 2 point whatever walk rate and a 38% K rate. It was like the Mondesi, he's still not a great hitter. He's streaky and can't stay on the field. And they even talked about limiting his games this year. So I don't see any reason why you should be taking him in the top 60. I don't know. Do you see any reason?
No, I mean, I'm not going to take on the volatility. He's not going to play every day. I think even the Royals have made that clear. Like, they want to give him rest so his body can stay healthy. This man should be staying healthy because he's so young. I don't get that. Yeah, I think there's tremendous upside here with Mondesi. Like, he could be a 2060 type guy, but also he's such bad plate discipline. He ends up on the bench and not on the team. Like, just screams Billy Hamilton to me. Obviously, he has a lot more power than Hamilton. We've seen that. But we saw how Billy Hamilton's career progressed. And I don't know. That's just, there's so many concerns here. I mean, his contact is insanely bad and his just swing and miss is terrible. He chases insanely high rates. And yeah, I mean, the projections love him. You look at everything and his projections are through the roof, at least from a power speed standpoint. I mean, his worst projection is actually Zips, who only has him, which is because playing time, which I find interesting. Zips projects him at 380 plate appearances, which might be pretty accurate. All the other ones are 493 to 588. So yeah, that's interesting. I actually really like the Zips playing time projection, but even at 380 plate appearances, 12 home runs, 36 steals, yeah, that's reasonable. Everyone's got him projected at a OBP below 290. That's bad. That's really bad.
OBP below 290.
I mean, yeah, he's a career 280 OBP. He's a career 64% contact rate. He's a career 40% O swing. Like, well, I just don't get it. Like, I'm not sure I can draft him on any team because there's just too much risk there. I mean, you just look at the games played, the plate appearances, they're all over the board. And yes, he's going to go through stretches where he's going to steal 14 bases in a month. Like, we know he can do that, but it's just the inconsistency and volatility. I don't understand how we can consistently draft him this high. Like, when does the bottom just absolutely fall out? And that's I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's going to happen sooner or later. I'm not going to be on that wrong side of that for sure. So
no,
I can't do it.
Maybe if he fell to like 105, maybe. I don't even know if I'd want him there. Yeah, I don't get it. So one of these years, people will learn. And, you know, it's kind of the opposite. Our buddy in Fantrax writer Corbin Young is like, one of these years he'll put it all together. And like, yeah, maybe he will. But I will eat my words if that happens.
One of these years, any player could put it together. I mean, just we can say that about anybody, you know. And I'm just, I'd rather not take on the volatility risk. You know, I love that Ariel Cohen's projection has like the volatility metric, which is fun. I'm gonna pull up how. Let's look at the for all players, like the volatility. I gotta remember which one's what. There's like this.
I would be shocked if anybody's higher than Mondesi.
Yeah, I don't think so. He has a couple different metrics.
Maybe Buxton is in the general ballpark, but
okay. Yeah. So the intra SD is what the volatility metric is, and Mondesi scores the highest at 2.79. The next highest is Miles Straw at 2.28. So it's not like a wide range, but you see like the outlier here of how high he is. And then that's not a lot of plate appearances. If we upped it, I can't up the plate appearance total, but you have Mondesi and Straw, and then it's like all these players that are projected for like you play 10 games. So it's like insane amount like of players. So yeah, he's like by and far the most volatile, which I think is cool to look at. I think there's value in that. And yeah, you know, Joey Gallo is another one. I go down the list, but Joey Gallo is at 1.88, so a whole score below Mondesi, who is 2.79. So yeah, ton of volatility there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's move on because I think we've talked enough about Mondesi. Yeah. Let's go to players that we actually kind of like and that are intriguing this year. Next up, Austin Riley. You know, we kind of were talking before. I don't know if this was before we came on or earlier. I can't remember at this point, but about how his ADP has seemed to fallen a bit here as we get into January drafts. Like ADP now is 63. That slid a little bit from earlier drafts back in the like November, December or so. You know, I was already feeling fine with Riley as like a top 50 pick, but if he's going, you know, in a 15 teamer in the early part of the fifth round, I'm all for that. His range is 46 to 81. We talked about him in the past. Like, I think we're mostly a believer in the breakout here. You know, maybe not so much the average. I don't think he's a 303 hitter, but his XBA was 279 last year. Before that was 263. So, you know, quality of contact metrics are very good. Not like elite, but definitely above average. 13.3% barrel rate, 45.6% hard hit rate, 509 X slug. So I think for where you're getting him, and he's young, could always keep improving. Still only 24 years old. Now I could see another, you know, 270 plus season, 30 plus home runs, 100 plus RBI, 90 plus runs. Yeah, he doesn't steal at all. I think that might be the detractor here, is that he didn't run at all. But this is a really good, and I think a fairly safe four category profile. And he's going to be, I'm assuming they're going to bring back Freeman. So it's still going to be a very good Braves lineup. So I don't really see any risk here taking him, you know, around pick 60 or so.
No, I mean, he's 24 years old. He broke out in 2020, actually, at 23 years old. And it's interesting. Everybody's like, he can't sustain this BABIP. But that's not true, because you look at his minor league data and he consistently ran high BABIPs. I mean, you look at when he played, you know, full seasons at different stops, a 341 BABIP, 393 BABIP, 415 BABIP. Sorry, that was 27 games. I won't count that. 374 BABIP, 300 BABIP in 2019 AAA. And he made major strides in 2020. And I think that's what's important to note. He saw significant contact gains, and everything that he did in 2020 to improve carried over to 2021. His batting average wasn't flashy in 2020, just 239. But the contact gains were there. It's important to note, why does he sustain a high BABIP? Why can't he sustain a high BABIP? It's because he hits so many line drives and he hits them so hard. That high BABIP does not mean you have to be fast. Riley's not a fast runner, but that's okay, because when you pepper line drives in the gap and you hit the ball hard, you're going to get on base a lot. He had a 368 BABIP with 33 home runs. If you don't know, a home run doesn't really count for BABIP's not, I mean, it's technically in play, but look at all the balls he put in play that counted. And that's so important to see here with him. He's lowered his strikeout rate significantly. He's doing so many things well. And I think the power's legit. Every projection system has him at least 30 home runs, which is definitely safe. Yeah, there's probably going to be batting average regression. Is he going to be a 370 BABIP again? I'm not advocating for that. But I do think he's capable of running a 330 plus BABIP. And if that's the case, he's going to hit 270 or better. And so you're right. I do think that when looking at his profile, he's going to give you a lot of run in RBIs. He's going to give you plenty of home runs. He's going to give you a solid average. So he's a pretty safe bet here at third base, a position that is extremely weak. And who's to say that he doesn't continue to improve? I mean, like I said, just 24 years old. Maybe these gains stick. I don't know if there's a next level. I mean, I think it's easy to see the raw power being 70, so he could hit more than 33, but you don't need him to. Where you're drafting him, I think that his value is pretty fair. So, yeah, it's definitely fun to see what he did, and I think he can sustain it.
Yeah, it's more than fair. And you look at, you know, to your point, his exit velocity on fly balls and line drives last year was 95 miles an hour, which was 35th in the league for qualified hitters, you know, right in the middle of J.D. Martinez, Jose Abreu, Freddie Freeman, Nick Castellanos. You know, Jose Ramirez was right below him, Bubba Shett was right below him, Rosarena. So really good group that he was in. And yeah, he's definitely, I'm buying at his ADP for sure. Like, I was already like, all right, you know, 45, 50 range, that's solid. It was fair. And now definitely, I think it's a slight bargain for what he can give you. You know, if he's going somewhere in the 60s, especially if he drops a little further than that, like closer to his max pick, that's an absolute steal. So all over Riley there at that ADP. And a couple others liking their ADP as well. It's funny, I was never really a big Bregman guy, but this year I think I'm becoming a Bregman guy. You know, all indications are that, you know, he's going to be healthy for spring training and kind of all the health issues that are in the past now. And his ADP is 99.4, which is the seventh third baseman off the board behind Arenado, Riley, Mondesi, Machado, Devers, and Joe Ram. I like that ADP. You see an OBP format, that's huge. Obviously, Bregman's always been a huge OBP guy. I think you can see the power tick back up. You know, the injury's kind of hurt his power a bit. He's still only 27. He's still in Houston. He knows how to crank him into the Crawford boxes. Every one of his home runs was in the Crawford box, I think. It's hard to tell where it ends on that spray chart. But if not, every one of his home runs was the left field, I should say. Still has the exceptional approach. So I'm buying a nice little bounce back here. I think he could put up similar numbers to Austin Riley 30 picks later. So I'm buying that. Are you, which ADP here are you a fan of more, Chris? Between Arenado in the early 80s or Bregman in the late 90s?
I'd rather just take the one that's going furthest down. That's Bregman. I mean, going that late, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of shares of him in drafts. I mean, you look at him and yeah, he's obviously going to have that huge outlier season in 2019. Don't think anybody expects him to hit 40 home runs again. He doesn't need to. And here's the interesting thing. His contact is so elite. And he did this last season with a wrist injury that he played through the entire year.
Yeah,
that tells me that he still performed at a decent level. That's why the power was zapped. He had surgery. He's good to go. I mean, there's no question why that he can't be really, really solid next year. And he doesn't have to do much to return value at that spot. I think you look and his contact was, you know, as good as ever last year. 93.5% in the zone, 87.7% overall contact. He doesn't chase at all, which is why he posts such good OBPs, because he puts the ball in play consistently and he's patient, so he's going to walk. You're right, in OBP format, he's way more valuable than this, but I easily see the home runs coming back. I mean, you look at his home run to fly ball rate, it was down at below 10% last year. I don't expect that to sustain at all. So yeah, I'm thinking we see him come back to hit 25 to 30 home runs with a solid average. I think he could easily hit 280. He's a 281 career hitter with a pretty poor 2020 and 2021. And there's logical reasons why both those seasons were struggles. So you give me that in a good lineup, he's going to score a lot of runs, drive in a lot. I think that, you know, he could be every bit of Austin Riley's value, at least. And they provide different things, but I think he could return as much value as Austin Riley does. So, yeah, I'll probably be getting a lot of Bregman.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like Arenado. I think that's a fair range for Arenado. Like, we've seen this guy is just consistent. Yeah, he's not Colorado Arenado anymore, but, you know, 255, 34, 105 last year. He'll hit in the middle of that St. Louis lineup. So, you know, I don't think he's falling off a cliff anytime soon. So I think he's fair there, but I think there's definitely a better chance at getting a nice ROI with Bregman than there is with Arenado. Like, I don't see Arenado going up to like top 50 value. Bregman could. So that's why I'd rather go Bregman there, you know, especially a full round later. than Arenado. And with Bregman too, you know, I think he's going to get a lot of pitches to hit. He's going to have probably hitting third in the lineup. He's going to have Yordan right behind him, Kyle Tucker right behind him. So those studs, he's going to see a lot of pitches to hit. So yeah, I think it's a nice bounce back for Bregman here coming in 2022. Let's go ahead and hit a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side, get into some ADP past 100 and some late round guys. A lot of fun names still to come, so don't you go anywhere.
We'll be back with more Fantrax Toolshed right after this.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's get into the ADP 101 to 150 range, which is an interesting range here. We got, you know, I guess we'll extend it to like 160 or so. But we got Anthony Rendon at 116, DJ LeMahieu also at 116. They're almost exactly identical, 0.14 apart in ADP in January. Though Rendon does have the lower min and max picks by about 10 to 15 picks. Ke'Bryan Hayes, 134. Yoan Moncada, 152. And Luis Urias at 157. Let's start with those first two there, with Anthony Rendon and DJ LeMahieu. Are you buying either at a bounce back here? I think I know your answer. I think we both have the same answer here. But if you would take one of those guys at ADP, who would you feel more comfortable in between Rendon and DJ LeMahieu?
Man, I'll tell you, actually, that's tough because, you know, it's easy to say that I would have – it was Rendon for me all day, but – and we found out LeMahieu had played through an injury last year. So that's the struggle. Yeah, I don't really believe in LeMahieu's power at all. Like, I don't see it coming back. But I think he's a solid batting average type guy. With Rendon, gosh, who even knows at this point? Like, you know, he should be ready to start spring training, has the hip injury. But can hip injuries, like, linger? Yeah, I'm worried they do.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I do worry about that. And honestly, like, that's why we saw the batting average take such a dip. When you see that, typically what you see with hip injuries, and this is exactly what we saw here with Rendon, is that they overcompensate to try to get power, and they end up elevating the ball more and more. Same thing with shoulder injuries, typically. And from that standpoint, we saw a lot of things go down. His chase rate was up extremely high. His contact was down a little bit, but, you know, you look and he was hitting the ball in the air much more often, but it wasn't a good thing because his home run to fly ball rate was way down. So he just wasn't generating the power. The hips have a lot to do with the baseball swing. You think when you start the swing, you're getting the torque, you're getting your hips in and loaded, and then you got the hip separation from the torso coming out. And when you can't do that, when your hip's hurting, you can't get that separation, you're not going to generate power. You're not going to generate lag in the swing. It's going to destroy everything. And I think that's what we saw with him last year. Yeah, he was one of the more consistent players in baseball from like 2016 or 2017, really, through 2019. Hit over 300 every year, 25 or more home runs every year. And then the big season, obviously the contract year, that's always fun when you see that. But I don't know. If Trout's healthy, Otani's in the lineup every day, could be a good lineup. And I do like Rendon. I just don't know. Like, I was all over the price, but with Bregman and Rendon, like, I'll take Bregman 15 picks earlier, which wasn't the case earlier in the offseason. So, yeah, I'm leaning Rendon between him and LeMahieu because I just don't believe in LeMahieu's power. But I do. I mean, he played through a sports hernia last year, and that's obviously a big deal. He had surgery to repair that. So I do think the batting average does come up. He's going to be a solid batting average. And if you need that at this point in the draft, like, that's where you go, I think. But I don't know. Both of them are kind of question marks. It's easy for me to avoid them.
Yeah. I think the easy answer for me here is I don't want either. Yeah. At this point, like, either with third base at this point in the draft, like 100 to 125 or so, I've either already secured it with one of the guys we've already talked about, or I'm waiting on a couple of the other names that we'll talk about here in a little bit. Some of the guys that are more on like the 140 to 175 range or so, because I like those guys just as much, maybe even more than these two, and that's just in general, and especially when you factor in the cost associated with each player. So, yeah, I think if I had, you know, gun to the head, had to pick one, I don't know. I'd say LeMahieu's safer, I think. Like you mentioned, hopefully he's back to healthy. I think he has a higher floor. Rendon just, you know, he hasn't played 150 games since 2016. Only has twice in his career, 2014 and 2016. Missed over 100 games last year. Doesn't run anymore. So you got to bank on the bat being there. And even when he was playing last year, it wasn't great. Especially with DJ, at least, even though the surface stats were down from the last few years before, look at some of the metrics underneath, and they weren't far off. Like, hard hit rate was kind of in line with the last couple of years. You know, average xFIP low was running down a little bit. Like, there wasn't any glaring differences in one of his quality of contact metrics. So I think you can see a nice bounce back. I think you can from both. So I guess I would go Rendon's as a higher ceiling there. If he can stay healthy, you know, hitting in the same lineup as Trout and Ohtani, and you know, I think you could see a step forward for Mike Brendan Marsh and Joe Adele as well. That could be a pretty good lineup if everything breaks right. There's a lot of risk in that lineup, obviously, but everything breaks right, that could be a very good lineup, maybe even a top 10 lineup in baseball. So there's a bit higher ceiling for Rendon this year, so I guess I'd go with him, but I don't want either at their cost ADP. I'd rather much go with one of these next two guys we're going to talk about, Yoan Moncada and Ke'Bryan Hayes. They're going Ke'Bryan Hayes 134.6, Yoan Moncada 152.3. Are you buying a bounce back from Yoan Moncada this year, Chris? Like, the ADP is very, very reasonable. He's not too far removed from a 300-plus 25 homer season. Are you buying a bounce back? That's a tongue twister for me, I guess, at this ADP this year at around one pick 150.
I don't even know what to make of Moncada at this point.
Right.
He's such an interesting profile.
Where did those 40 steals go from the low minors? Like, it's low minors, but my God, he doesn't run at all anymore, which is weird.
That's the White Sox philosophy. I mean, you look, they had Tim Anderson. You can just go on and on. They had several players that stole 50 plus in the minors and never steal more than 20. Moncada's not even stealing at all. I mean, his max has been 12, and that was 2018. So I just don't understand. Like, there's some profiles I look at and it's like, what is going on here? Right. I mean, Moncada's quality of contact is really good. Yeah. His launch angle is pretty ideal. He barrels the ball well, hard hit rate's high, everything that you really want to see. And the results aren't there. I mean, the contact is fine. It's not bad. Last year was actually the best contact rate of his career at 74%. He consistently has pretty good zone contact, not elite, but good. And his batted ball distribution is not bad either. I mean, the ground ball rate, his career ground ball rate is 41%, which is fine. It's not high by any means. And you look, he hits a lot of line drives. I don't get why the average runs so low. It's just bizarre to me to look at this profile. And even, I mean, last year he ran a 350 BABIP and still hit 263. I just can't explain him. I don't know. And that's the biggest thing. When I can't identify like what's going on, which is the case, then I'm like, I don't know. Obviously, we know there's another level. We've seen it. We saw 2019 be a fantastic season where he had 25 homers and stole 10 bases and a 315 average. Like, that was what we expected out of him. Like, this is the prospect pedigree we saw in Moncada. But I don't know. It just so bizarre to me, and I don't know what to make of him. I mean, projections tend to love him to an extent with power, at least, but I don't, until I see it, it just hasn't been there. So I do think there's another level, and at the price you can kind of afford to, you know, see what he can do.
Right.
But oh gosh, it's so tough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still kind of a believer in him, but at this point, he's, you know, been in the league for 6 years. You know, he debuted back in 2016. He's a career 261 hitter. Last year he hit 263. So I'm wondering, is this what he is at this point? Like, 260 to 270 hitter that, you know, 15 to 25 home runs. I think do you think he can get up to 30? I don't know if I'd see it. Like, I think he can get back to like low to mid 20s, but I don't know if we ever see anything more than that. And with, you know, the only a couple steals, he had three last year. I don't see that really bouncing back to double digits anytime soon. Yeah, we solid counting stats and a good White Sox lineup. But at this point, I don't know what's much difference between him and, I don't know, Ryan McMahon. Like, is there a big difference in the profile? Yeah, Moncada has the upside for more, but is he just like Ryan McMahon at this point?
Maybe, which is crazy. I mean,
I know, like,
McMahon gets the benefit of Coors, but I don't know.
I mean, what did McMahon do last year? I'm pulling up his stats. I'm sure it's probably in a similar range. overall. Let's see. Yeah, he hit 254, 23 home runs, 86 RBI, 80 runs, and 6 steals. Yeah, like, why are we I thought I was in on Moncada. Now I'm trying to like wonder, like, if there's guys just 40 to 50 picks later, because McMahon, where's he at? I guess he's not too far later. He's only 15 picks later on average at 167. But, you know, McMahon's at least done it. You know, Moncada has that 1 year, but, you know, each of the last two full years, McMahon has been right around 250 to 255, 23, 24 home runs, 80, mid-80s RBI, and a handful of steals. Like, I'd almost rather have McMahon, which is weird to say. I guess, yeah, there's more upside with Moncada, but I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get there. Like you said, it's a weird profile. Like, he showed so much more upside in the minor leagues, and it just hasn't, outside that 1 year, it's been a very underwhelming career. So I don't know if I want Moncada anymore. I think I just talked myself out of Moncada right here on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think the upside's there. I'm not arguing against that, but I don't know. I mean, I just think he kind of, like, you're right, he is what he is. And until we see otherwise, I just can't buy in on him.
Yep. One guy I am buying in more, and you know, I was never a big Cabrian Hayes guy coming up through the minors. Thought he was a bit overrated, but I've kind of talked myself into Cabrian Hayes more and more this year. He was dealing with injuries last year, playing through injuries. Still had 6 home runs and 9. You mentioned all the steals he had down the stretch. Ended up with 9 overall. This is a pretty solid profile. He doesn't stand out anywhere, but you could potentially get, you know, 20 homers, 10 to 15 steals. This is the guy that, you know, he could be the number 3 guy in steals at this position behind Joe Ram and Mondesi. Like, he could be ahead of Machado. I think he could get up to 15. I don't think I see Machado getting up that high. So 20 homers, 15 steals. You can see the average is pretty solid. You know, he's a 280 overall in his 2 years, 257 last year, again, playing through injuries. Quality of contact has been pretty solid. 45.8% hard hit rate last year, you know, a 90.2 average exit velo. Launch angle is a little low. He has too many ground balls, but if you can start driving the ball in the air a bit more, get up to that 20 homer range with 10 to 15 steals, solid average. And I think he's a hit high in that Pittsburgh lineup. You know, it's not great at the bottom, but the top of the lineup could be solid with Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz. So maybe you flirt with 150 combined runs in RBI. You know, that's, I think, pretty good profile at his range here, you know, in round 10, 11 or so of a 15 teamer. So yeah, I'm back in on Hayes.
Yeah. You know, I've always loved Hayes, and you look at last year was just a disaster for him. And he started out the year so good in spring training and the little bit of time we saw at the beginning of the year, but then he had a strained left wrist that kept him out until early June. In August, he bruised his right hand when he slammed his helmet in the dugout after a strikeout. And then in late September, the left wrist acted up again. It was a cyst, the doctors determined, and he was shut down again. So he dealt with stuff with both wrists, which is crazy. He's met with 2 specialists this offseason, did not need surgery, which, you know, I find positive, but at the same time, it's like, dang, like, surgery, you know, they're going to improve. But if he didn't have the surgery, then it shows me that the doctors at least think he'll be good to go there. I mean, he saw his average exit velocity drop 3 miles an hour last year. I think that's such a sign that it was just the wrist completely. And so, yeah, you're right. The profile is super intriguing because it's power, speed, not a lot of power. It's enough power, but the speed at the position makes up for it here. So, and he's going to hit for solid average. I'm not worried about that at all. He's consistently hit for good average in the minors. So I'm not worried about last year. I mean, his contact, so good. Even with an injured wrist, 2 injured wrists last year, still had a 92% zone contact rate. In 2020, he had a 96% zone contact rate. That's elite. That's very, very elite, if you didn't know. So, yeah, I'm a big Cabrian Hayes fan. I hope that he'll be in healthy. And, yeah, I'm very excited about the outlook here.
Yeah, and those wrist injuries just zap so much of the power. But he dealt with multiple throughout the year. I was like, he just wasn't healthy at all last year. And he still had above average quality of contact metrics, which just shows the upside here in Hayes' profile. You mentioned the contact rates are very good. He had a better than league average whiff rate, better than league average chase rate. There's a good approach here. Keeps the Ks in check. You know, walk rates around league average. So, yeah, I definitely see a nice little breakout year coming from Cabrian Hayes here in 2022. Moving on here more into the back end. Even, you know, Pat, it'll get into like the 175 to 250 range here. Another batch of really interesting names, good mix of names. We'll start with a couple guys that are going right in the back end of the top 200. Justin Turner around pick 180. Matt Chapman almost at 200 on the nose, 199.97. Are you buying either of those guys there, Chris, or do you think they're a bit too high?
Yeah, Turner's interesting because when Turner is healthy, he's really good. And he even, you know, last year at age 36, still 27 homers, 87 runs in RBI, and a 278 average. He gets on base a ton. So he still gets the job done. Yeah, I think there's going to be fall off at some point. The hamstring injury was rough that he had last year. I think that was during the postseason. So that's a slight concern, but he should be fine for next season. I'm not really worried about that. But when do we begin to see the plate appearances begin to tick down? He's played inconsistently the last several years. So that's my concern. I mean, last year, surprisingly, was his most games played since 2016, and which is actually was tied for the most of his career. He's out of the lineup a lot. I think that factors in. When he's on the field, he's solid. Matt Chapman's a great real-life player. But Matt Chapman, in my opinion, I just don't think he's a good fantasy asset. He's no different. His profile is pretty much Patrick Wisdom with a little less strikeouts. That's pretty bad, but that's kind of like my lazy comp there. I mean,
it's accurate, though.
He's empty power. That's all he is. If he gets traded, let's say he gets traded to the Yankees, do you like him in that Yankees lineup and in Yankee Stadium, though? Does it make it worth his value? I don't know.
I like it more than Houston. Sure. Not Houston, than Oakland. But yeah. I still don't know if I like it. I guess I'd say I like it more than I do now. But yeah, he's great. Obviously, I could watch Matt Chapman play third base all damn day. He is so fun to watch. One of the best defensive third basemen I've ever seen. But I don't. The strikeout rates are so high. It's been above 32% each of the last 2 years. You know, he just doesn't make enough contact, doesn't run. So you need him to, you know, be adequate or better with the bat. And he just hasn't been there. Zone contact rate last year was only 72.4%. That is not good. Whiff rates are well above league average by a good 8 to 10% over the last 2 years. It's just not a profile I want to invest in. And since he stays in Oakland, that lineup is just getting worse by the day, especially if they trade Matt Olson, which has been rumored as well. Yeah, I don't want any part. I would definitely pick Turner. Now, I do think Turner's going to fall off a cliff here at some point, and I'm probably not going to have him on any of my teams. But if I had to go one of these two guys, I would go Justin Turner for sure. I don't know how Chapman's going in the top 200. People still think he's got upside for more. He had that one. What was that 1 year? 2019. He had 249 with 36 home runs. Maybe they think that's coming back. I don't. I don't think he has the contact skills to do that. I think last year is pretty fair. Low average, below 220 and 25 or so home runs. That's probably what you're getting with Dahlbeck, but you can get that. I mean, with Dahlbeck, with Matt Chapman, but you can get that later at other positions as well. So not really one I'm looking to invest in at this point in the draft. Not too far below that, though, is Jaime Candelario, one of my favorite names to say here. He's, you know, people seem to like Candelario. Whatever I rank him, wherever that may be, people don't like it. They always think I'm too low on him. I don't know, Chris. I think you might be a little higher on, maybe I'm wrong. So correct me if I am wrong, a little higher on Candelario than I am. But I don't see a lot of upside for more than what he's shown here. He's decent. You know, I'll take him as like a depth guy, but I think he's being drafted as like a starting corner infielder. And I don't know if I can get on board with that, especially, you know, he's in Detroit, obviously, which limits power. I don't know. He's last year, 271, 16 home runs over a full 626 plate appearances. I don't know if I see upside for more there in that profile, but I don't know. Do you see anything more than that?
No, I mean, it is interesting. Like, I'm surprised to see how high his ADP has risen. And I hear a lot of chatter about him. Like, you know, people even think he's underrated to an extent. But yeah, maybe he stays on the field and is healthy, which is a great aspect. But gosh, I don't know. I mean, we've seen the most power he's shown was in 2018, hit 19 home runs. That was in 619 plate appearances. So, you know, he's requiring a ton of plate appearances to accrue these stats. As you mentioned, Comerica's not a great power park. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not in love with it. His slug last year was just 443, which is just not good. Even
he's okay.
Yeah. I mean, he was a sub 800 OPS. I think he's okay. I don't think he's great by any means. And I don't know. I feel like going where he's going seems a little high. I mean, I'd rather get Eduardo Escobar. I'd rather get Josh Donaldson later. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just an interesting spot for him, I think, coming in near 215.
Yeah, looking down the list here, yeah, I'd rather, Escobar is right in the strange as well. I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Josh Donaldson. I know it's almost impossible for him to stay healthy anymore, but if Donaldson gives you 120 games, I would much rather take him. I'd almost rather have Eugenio Suarez at this point. Abraham Toro, a similar profile, 40 to 50 picks later. I don't know. I just don't like that. Like I said, he's fine. Is he top 220 fine? No, I don't think so. He doesn't run. He had zero steals last year. The quality of contact metrics are all around league average. I don't see a path to 20-plus home runs. He's a 270, 15 to 18 homer guy with middle-of-the-road runs in RBI and no steals. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't either.
Yeah, I'd much rather have a lot of other guys in this range. Do you think, though, you know, we just mentioned Donaldson. Do you think he can stay healthy? Do you think he's a good value in this range? Like, obviously, we've seen what Donaldson's capable of. And even still through the injuries, like he's had, you know, what hasn't Josh Donaldson been injured with? You know, it's been the calf recently. It's like a game of operation with this guy, it seems like. But when he does play, he's still a very good hitter. Like, yeah, he only hit 247 last year, but it was a little bit unlucky. The, you know, XBA was 268. You look at a lot of his quality of contact was still very, very good. He's been above a 50% hard hit rate each of the last 3 years. Walks have always been super high. K rate's always been below 25%. 17.4% barrel rate last year. 94.1 average exit velo. 541 X slug. 446 X Wobicon. Like, I love Donaldson. I wish he could stay healthy. Do you think he's worth the risk here? Because obviously, if you can get, let's say you get, what's a good over under here? 130 games out of him, which he did play last year in 155 in 2019, though he played under half the games in 2020. I think he can return top 150 or 125 value. But I know, what are your thoughts on Donaldson in this range?
Yeah, I mean, his quality of contact was the best of his career last year at 35 years old. Yeah, and like you mentioned, I think if you draft him, you need a little insurance. But if you can bank on him for 120 games at this draft slot, like, I'm all about it. I mean, he's going, you know, right beside Candelario. Much rather have him. I mean, even last year, he's still shown he's got plenty of power. I think he's going to produce. That Twins lineup severely underperformed last year. He's going to have plenty of run RBI opportunities. And I think we see the average tick up. I think we saw some bad luck last year. And we see that come back because, I mean, Babbitt's been pretty low the last 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, you can probably count on him for an IL stint or two. But even playing through that, that's the thing. He's played through those calf injuries. And he's still performing at this really high level. So I actually like Donaldson's a target of mine if I miss out on the early guys. I think that he's a player that you can semi-count on. And when he's on the field, you can really count on him. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, like this Minnesota lineup could be sneaky good. You got Kirilloff coming back in this lineup. Hopefully you get Buxton for a full year or somewhat of a full year. 120 games I'll take from Buxton. Polanco is a solid. Kepler is actually sneaky good with his metrics. Mitch Garver is a decent catcher. Miguel Sano obviously has the pop. So there could be a sneaky good lineup there. And he's the hit right in the middle of it. He's probably going to be clean up, you know, no lower than fifth in the order. So yeah, definitely I like him a lot more than Jaime Candelario. The only thing Candelario has on Donaldson is durability. That is it. Like, yeah, it is night and day when it comes to their profiles, especially in the quality of contact metrics. So give me 120 of Donaldson over 150 of Candelario easily, because especially when you factor in, you know, especially in leagues that have, you know, waiver wire and fab and all that, where you can replace him with somebody, what I'm going to get with Donaldson plus whatever guy I use to fill in for the week or 2 weeks he's out, it's going to be much more than Candelario can bring to the table. So yeah, give me all the shares of Donaldson in this range for sure. Let's go a little further here. We get wrapping up the show here. Let's go 250 plus, and the name that immediately stands out when you look at 250 plus, guy that's going right around pick 300 lately on NFBC drafts in January at pick 297 on average as the 27th third baseman off the board. That's Alec Bohm. Are you buying a Boehm bounce back here in 2022, Chris?
I think he can. I'm not all in that he will, but I do believe that he's capable because we've seen there's a flaw, and that's just the ground balls. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what it comes down to. His contact is good. His quality of contact is really good. He just drills the ball into the ground, and you know that's not ideal by any means. So I do think that if he lifts that launch angle a little bit and he continues to hit the ball hard, we're going to see good results for it. I mean, hard hit rate's good. The average exit velo is good. Everything's solid, but he's just lacking in the area of launch angle, which I think is fixable. And we've seen other hitters fix that before. But I don't really want to count on him. I'd like to draft him as a bench player in hopes that he does take a step forward. But I do not want to count on him as my third baseman or even in a corner spot. Like I hope to have that field and taking him as a bench player, which I don't know if you can where he's going, but that would be my preference. I mean, I don't know. The ISO was below 100 last year, which is kind of rough there. A lot of things that make you question. I think we just got a little high on him after that really good 2020 debut.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I do think that it's fixable and there's a clear issue, and it's the ground balls.
Yeah, it's almost a similar issue, obviously, to a much lesser extent than Vladdy Jr. had a couple of years ago that he fixed. Now, obviously, I'm not comparing Boehm to Vlad Jr., obviously, but it's a similar type of issue where he's hitting the ball fairly hard. Like, he had 49.5% hard hit rate this past year, 92-mile-an-hour average exit velo. But when you're hitting it into the ground so often and you're slow, you know, Boehm is not a fast guy at all, then it's not a, you know, a recipe for success here. Like that's how you're going to hit 247 with seven home runs over 470 play appearances. And yeah, I think at this point in the draft, near pick 300, I definitely will bank on him returning positive value there at the very least. Whether he has a quote unquote bounce back or not, we'll see. But I think if he can just get back up to where I think he can be, I still think he can be a 270 or so hitter. If he can get up just close to 20 home runs, I think he could definitely produce Jaime Candelario numbers, let's say, almost 100 picks later. I don't know why. Can you think of a reason why there's a 75 pick gap between Candelario and Boehm? Yeah, Boehm's coming off a rough season. Candelario at least did it last year, but I could easily see Boehm outproducing Candelario here.
Yeah, it's just prospect fatigue is all yeah. The hype. And that's what tends to happen when you get a player that's so hyped and then they fall off. It's pretty common for us. I think we see that too often. So I think that's when you buy. So it's a good time to buy Alec Boehm.
Yeah. I said pick 300. It's almost free, you know? So at this point, I think I could take the risk on Alec Boehm bouncing back there, especially all the other guys in this range. I'm not, there's not a lot of other names that pop off that just looking at, I'm like, I don't like, you know, Jonathan Villar is kind of interesting depending if he can play full time this year. He's got, you know, at least he has a little power speed blend there. But Kevin Biggio, I'm out. you know, that's the one guy I'm just out on this year is Kevin Biggio. He's not good. He's another guy that got overhyped as a prospect because he's coming up the same time as Vladdy and Bo and Gurriel, and he's just not good. He doesn't even get on base at a high clip anymore. That was one thing he had going for him, and now he's losing playing time. Gio Urshela, done. I'm done with him. He can't stay healthy, and when he's there, it's not even great production anymore. Luis Arraez is empty average, so like a lot of the guys in this range are not that intriguing. So Boehm is definitely the guy I'm intrigued by the most here. But as we wrap up the show here, who is your favorite pick? You know, at this position, outside of pick 250, again, there's a lot of great names here, but who is your favorite guy here, and why is it Patrick Wisdom, Chris?
I won't have any Patrick Wisdom, but...
What are you talking about? You love Patrick Wisdom.
Oh, yeah. No,
I kid.
You know, I'm going to go with something pretty crazy, just because I don't really love hardly any of the names. I mean, I'd probably say Josh Jung, but you know, if you're looking for a contribution sooner, then I'm going to go with Rougned Odor and be really out there, a really deep target. And here's why. I mean, we've seen what he's capable of before. We've seen him hit for good power. We've seen him steal bases. And now he's with Baltimore, and he has a clear spot in the lineup. I don't know who's going to take his spot. I think he's going to play every single day in Baltimore. And he's left-handed in Baltimore, which is phenomenal. We saw what it did for Cedric Mullins. I'm actually intrigued by this idea of what he can do. I don't think he's going to hit for a good average. No one's expecting that. He's a career 234 hitter. And over the last, you know, five seasons, he's probably, I haven't had to pull it up. Let's see. Last five seasons, he has a 213 average. So you,
I was, I guess, 215.
Yeah, so you're pretty close. I mean, his OBP is 280, so whatever. He's not good, but he's got power. He's got speed, and he's going to be in a lineup where he gets to play every day. And that there's something to be said for that, especially where he's going around. He's going at pick 431 this last month. I think that's a spot where you buy in and just see where it takes you. Here's the crazy thing. How old do you think Rougned Odor is?
He's probably not as old as I want to. I think he is. I think he came up super early back with Texas. I'll guess, I want to say like 34, but I'm going to guess like, I don't know, 29. I think he's like,
he's 27. Yeah, no joke. I'm not kidding. It's easy to think he debuted at 20. You're right. He debuted at 20 in 2014.
He came up like super young with Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it feels like he's like 35. You're right. But
dude, he's been around since I was like a teenager. It feels like.
I mean, he's been around for quite some time now. Oh, so, Lord. Yeah, maybe there's something here. I'm semi intrigued enough to say that, you know, in a range where I don't like anybody, I'll take a shot on somebody that's gone 30-15 before, even if it comes with a 200 batting average.
Right.
Where he's and going, he's a bench bat.
He's gonna start, and that's exactly. It's a good hitter's park, especially for lefties. No, he won't be affected by them moving the left field wall out a good 30 feet. So, yeah, that's definitely intriguing. There, they have him. You know, maybe he platoons a little bit, but he'll be on the strong side of the platoon at least. So, yeah, that's a good pick. Where's he going? ADP? Where is he?
435.
Yeah, so super deep leagues. Yeah, late round flyer definitely can do worse. Like. I'd rather have him than Tyler Wade or Josh Harrison. JD Davis is down there too, but Davis is intriguing if he can get back into a full-time gig. I don't know if that's going to happen in 2022 because it's basically logjam there, but he's at least intriguing in that range, but you'll have to see how that situation plays out with playing time. But I'm also a big Josh Young guy. You know, he's 284 on average. I mentioned this on our PitchCon panel. Go back and check that out. That was PitchCon was a great event. Shout out to Nick Pollock, Alex Fass, and the entire Pitcherless team that put that on. This is what, the third or fourth year, I forget, but phenomenal event. Raised over $10,000 for Feeding America. So, you know, tip of the hat to those guys there. So go back and check that out. It was a great panel. Chris and I, along with Shelley Verstrait and James Anderson, talking about prospects to target this year, and we talked about Josh Young. I love Young. He's one of the few guys, rookies, that I will be targeting this year because ADP is very reasonable, going near pick 300. He's one of the highest floor bats in the minor leagues right now, regardless of position. Could be a 290 plus, 25 plus type of guy. And he might even start an opening day in an improved Texas lineup that added Corey Seager, Marcus Semien. You know, Nate Lowe is there. It's a solid, I think it'll be at least a middle of the pack offense. So he could even hit like fifth or sixth in this be driving in Seager and Semien all day. So like him, but to give another name here, you know, I kind of, there's two guys that are kind of going back. Actually, they are going back to back around pick 360, 370. I kind of like Longoria and Wilmer Flores at this point in late in drafts. You know, Flores has multi-position eligibility. You can play him at second as well. Maybe even another position. I can't remember, but definitely at least second and third. 262 average last year, 18 home runs. 53 RBI, 57 runs. He's going to be starting out there. So definitely a solid late round target for that multi-position eligibility. And then Longoria, it's kind of like the Donaldson effect to a lesser degree, but he can't stay on the field even more than Donaldson can. But last year was arguably the best year of his career for quality of contact metrics. 94.1 average exit velocity, 13.4% barrel rate, 54.5 hard hit rate. He had 13 home runs and just 291 plate appearances, hit 261. So if he can stay in the field for 120 games, which is a tall task, but look at up until really last year, he was really in model consistency back in 2013 through 2017. He had 156 plus games every year, then 125 and 129 in 2018, 2019. So even if he can get back to that 125 to 130 range, he could be, you know, get back to 25 homers, solid counting stats. you know, hitting, you'll probably hit in the somewhere in the middle, maybe fifth in that San Fran lineup. So with a solid average, it won't kill you, 255, 260, 265 or so in that range. So yeah, I think late in the draft, Longoria is a pretty solid target there, but I think that's going to wrap us up. Anything else you wanted to hit on here, Chris?
Nope. I think that was a great episode for a position that we think is pretty weak. I think we had a good job with it. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, there's definitely some value here if you dig deep enough. So yeah, it was a fun time. But that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back on, what's today, Monday? So on Thursday's episode, we will have Bubba and Batflip, you know them, Casey, Bubba, and Toby on for our shortstop episode. So that'll be a lot of fun there. Shortstop is always intriguing. But until then, you can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And of course, check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on our Patreon. And join us again on Thursday for that shortstop episode. But until then, everyone take care.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.